Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, here we are in the, hit the button, at the preciousness and the sweetness of the Bible.
Amen.
And so this is after hearing about the origin and the essence and the function of the Bible.
Amen.
Which we're all so subjective and we're all very applicable. And so now for the preciousness and the sweetness of the Bible, this one seems, it just seems so subjective. You know, like you can acknowledge that the Bible is precious and sweet, but it doesn't really mean anything unless it's that to you, right? So I really appreciate Brother Derek's burden and Brother Darren's burden to just love the Lord more and to just appreciate the Word more, to appreciate the Bible. And then you'll notice most of the verse references are from Psalms. I was surprised by that. I was like, seriously, Psalms? I don't know much about Psalms. Well, the Psalms are very experiential books. These are the experiences of those psalmists. So, and man, I don't know. Anyway, praise the Lord. So in this message or this topic, I really, really hope that to me, maybe most of all, but also to, we would just appreciate the Word more. And it would be more precious to us in our evaluation and more sweet to us in our experience. I looked up the word precious because I didn't really know what it meant. I couldn't define it. And it said, of great value, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. Amen. Amen. So, can we read the first Roman numeral together? Every word of the Lord is a pure word. Oh, and so these the points, the vast majority of them are quotes from Witness Lee, a minister of the Lord. And I thought they were all just so good I put them in there. But the verse references are on the other on the next page. So we can read the verse references Psalm 12, 6 and Psalm 119, 140, maybe also. The words of Jehovah are pure words. Silver refined in a furnace on the earth, purified seven times. Your word is very pure, and your servant loves it. Your servant loves it. The word of the Lord is very pure. These quotes here and these points, they say there are 66 books in the Bible, yet every sentence is pure, like silver that has been purified seven times. And then it says, the word of the Bible is refined and pure. There are no unnecessary words.
Amen.
That's kind of mind-boggling to think about. There's no book like that, right? Not a single word is wasted in the Bible. It's never a waste of time to be reading the Bible. I was talking with Amanda about, we visited some saints in Massachusetts, and we were pretty young in the church life. They would pray read verses. They were praying over these verses, and they would come to "and." Oh, Lord, and. Hallelujah, and. We're like, what is the deal? It's "and." Every word. There's not a wasted word. Every word is spirit and life.
Amen.
It's pure. Chronicles, all those names. Yeah. I have a hard time. Spirit and life, every single word, not a single name, not a single genealogy. Every word in the Bible is good for food.
Amen.
It's pure. Every word in the Bible conveys God.
Amen.
This is astounding.
Yeah.
It's well worth our time to be in the Word. Okay, and then point two, the Word of the Lord is sweeter than honey. And the verse is Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This one, the taste, to taste the Lord. How sweet are your words to my taste. And this quote, those who have truly tasted the word of the Bible know its preciousness and its sweetness. It's a matter of tasting the Bible. Again, it's very subjective. And it's not just reading. You have to read it to taste it, but just because you've read it doesn't mean you've tasted it. It's not like a guarantee, right? But one is a prerequisite for the other. So, you know, I've quoted these verses in the next one, but I'll talk about them now anyway. Jeremiah 15:16. We mentioned it earlier, right? Your words were found, and I ate them.
Amen.
And they became, your words became to me the gladness and joy of my heart.
Amen.
And then also Ezekiel 3:3. I know that verse is in the next one too. Let's just read Ezekiel 3:3 on the back sheet. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your inward parts with this scroll that I am giving you. And I ate it, and it was like honey in my mouth in its sweetness. It was like honey in my mouth in its sweetness. In the New Testament, also in Revelation, God told John to eat a scroll as well. So this isn't just an Old Testament. It's in the whole Bible. To eat the word. But in these two verses, in the first one in Jeremiah, it says, your word became to me the gladness and joy of my heart. At least all of us at some point or another in our Christian life, the Lord's word was not the gladness and joy of our heart. It became. How did it become? Not by considering, not by telling yourself again and again that I know this should be the gladness and joy of my heart, by eating it,
amen.
By enjoying it,
amen.
By getting into it and spending time in it.
Amen.
And then I like the utterance in Ezekiel 3:3, feed your stomach and fill your inward parts.
Amen.
Do think about it. Do let it fill your emotions. Have some feeling while you read the word. Let it saturate your will. Surely you have to exercise your spirit over the will. But let these things fill your whole being. Because when we do this, our valuation of the Bible goes up. And it becomes sweet to us. We don't just know that it's sweet. And we just know that it's precious. It actually is to us. But we have to eat it first. We have to taste it. That we taste with our mouth, right? There was actually, in one of the conferences fairly recently, one of the speaking brothers said that even when by himself, he reads the word aloud just so he can speak it. He's not just reading it, he speaks it. That's so helpful. I've been trying that, and I've been enjoying it at least for a few months. I haven't been doing it that long, but to just speak, just let the word saturate you in every way you can. Hear it, read it, say it. It becomes to us the gladness and the joy of our heart. Let's see. Point three says, this is those verses, but the Roman numeral, we can read it again. The Bible is more to be desired than gold and sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Amen. This quote again. If we do not have an appreciation of the value of the Bible, I hope that we will ask God for the grace to know the preciousness and sweetness of his word, the Bible.
Amen.
I hope that we will ask God for the grace.
Amen.
I think that's another, to me, as I looked over these things, that was another key in knowing the preciousness. Ask the Lord.
Amen.
Pray, Lord, make your word more precious to me.
Amen.
Make it sweeter to me today than it was yesterday. And that can be like an ongoing prayer. We can pray that every day. I will answer it more every day.
Amen.
Make your word sweeter to me today. He will do it.
Amen.
He wants to do that. There's some. I didn't put these verses on the list, but it made me think of in 2 Corinthians 3. towards the end of the chapter, Paul is talking about the Israelites. And when they read Moses, it says there's a veil on their heart. In 2 Corinthians 3:15 through 16, he says, "Indeed, unto this day." So this was in the New Testament. Paul was talking about the Israelites, the people of God. "Whenever Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart." How does the veil get taken away? "But whenever their heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." We have to turn our heart to the Lord. We'll never see the preciousness or taste the sweetness apart from the Lord's grace. So pray for this. Pray about it when you're reading, before you read, while you're reading, pray for the veil to be taken away. Amen. All right. Roman numeral 4. "The word of the Lord is better than thousands of pieces of gold and silver." All right, and this one, Psalm 119, verse 72. "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver." Amen. The point A says many have valued the Bible even more than their lives. And then he talked about some, you know, in the Reformation specifically, who lost their lives for the word. They literally treasured the Bible more than their own lives. And I think that I was considering this a lot in just in my own experience. And I was talking to Dallas earlier, especially as a young Christian. I knew the Bible was precious, but it practically wasn't precious to me. You know, I think there's a psalm, right? Doesn't he say, "I've treasured your word more than my daily bread"? Yeah. That's a psalm, right? But I knew that, and I wanted that to be my case, but it wasn't my case. And I didn't know how to make it my case. And so that's why this verse, Matthew 6:21 on there, that I put on that verse, point B, that's under Roman numeral 4, point B. It says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Amen. And this, I have to believe it was the Lord who reminded me of this, but a brother was speaking, we actually have a lot of agency over our heart and what we value. Because this verse doesn't say our treasure goes where our heart is. Right. It says our heart follows our treasure. So, of course, what we spend our money on, we love.
Right.
We also, what we spend our time on, we love. That's just our experience. Like, we do spend our time on what we love, that's true. But if we start spending time doing something, we'll start to love it. Amen. If we make a choice to do that. So the same is absolutely true with the word. How did these people, these brothers and sisters, value the word more than their lives? Well, they didn't just wake up and decide that. They must have been spending a lot of time in it and with it and laboring on it. And so that's how it becomes precious to us. There's no way to avoid spending time. And I kept coming to that conclusion because I kept praying, "Lord, how do I find your word? I know your word is the most precious thing," and thank the Lord. Right, I think our valuation of the Bible, we probably all have the same experience. Our appreciation of the Bible does keep increasing. But it's still so short. We know it should be this, and we have these ideas of what it should be. But so we just have to labor on it. And that, I feel like I've heard so many things that have helped me so much in getting into the Word. But a couple of them I wanted to share is, they kind of go together. The first one is to make a decision to spend the time in the Word. Yeah. Just, you have to exercise your will. Right. You just have to do it.
That's right. Amen.
And once you make that decision, there will be opposition. There will be, right. You'll have to pay a price.
Right.
To spend time doing this means you aren't spending time doing something else.
Right.
And so you'll fall behind in some kind of hobby. Or maybe it's just how it is. But you're spending your treasure in the Word. You're spending your time, your energy, your resources, invariably, I mean, the word guarantees, he promises that the Bible will be more precious to you and sweeter to you.
Amen.
Because where your treasure is, your heart will be also.
Amen.
And the other thing that helped me with coming to the word, and I think it, anyway, it's another trap I fall into that, well, I can't read the Bible religiously. I have to exercise my spirit, and we do. We have to exercise our spirit. But don't let the enemy defraud you and say, well, if not in my spirit, I'm not going to come. I'll wait till I'm inspired to read the word.
Right.
Don't do that.
Amen.
Make it a habit every day to come, to set aside a scheduled time or a set amount of time to just come and just be there and say, Lord, I am going to spend this time in your word. Make your word more precious to me. Deposit something in my being, because it starts religious to appreciate the word. But then as we spend time and labor, our evaluation increases. Anyway, I was very impressed with that, preparing for these things. Oh, and the other thing, spending time in the word and pray reading over the word, it just gets better and better. And it just, like, it keeps changing. It's very dynamic. The way that I spend time in the word now is not the same way I spent time in the word 6 months ago. And that's not the same as it was a year ago. Like, it keeps changing as I keep touching the word. And then sometimes I'm, like, reading a lot of it. And sometimes I'm reading a little bit. And sometimes I'm reading with other people. Sometimes I'm reading by myself. There's, like, it's endless, the ways to enjoy, but we can't discover any of them until we just start doing it. So anyway, just to spend time. That's how it becomes precious. Spend time. The more you put in, the more it is to you. Okay, Lord Jesus. Amen. Point five. The word of the Lord is our heritage forever. We have Psalm 119, verse 111. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the gladness of my heart. All right. These points also. All the spiritual blessings that we receive in the Lord today are heavenly. They cannot be seen with our physical eyes. However, we can see these blessings in the Bible. This paragraph that I took this from kind of goes on a little bit. He says, everything on this earth will pass away. Nothing of ours will remain. However, the Bible, our only true heritage, will last forever. Those who truly know God treasure the Bible and regard it as a priceless, eternal heritage. And that reminded me of another verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9, where Paul says, but as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not come up in man's hearts, things which God has prepared for those who love him. Not those who figure it out, not those who think about it, those who love him, and presumably love his word. That these are the unseen things. Another verse. 2 Corinthians 4:18, right? Paul says that we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. But yet, this physical book, the Bible, unveils all these spiritual blessings to us. Otherwise, how would we know? Mm-hmm. We get a car. Oh, thank you, Lord, for such a blessing. Well, maybe the Lord didn't give you that car. But when you receive Christ, when you receive fellowship with the saint, that doesn't always feel good. But you know it's the blessing. How? Because we have the word. It makes it clear to us. It unveils all these things. And the last Roman numeral is Roman numeral 6, right? Amen. No word is impossible with God. And we have Luke 1:37, which says, because no word will be impossible with God. And Yeah, I picked one quote for this outline, but I'm just going to read this paragraph again because I just appreciate it so much. No word in the Bible is impossible. This is a characteristic of the Bible. Worldly books do not emphasize power and do not have power. The Bible, however, emphasizes power and truly has power. One sentence of the Bible can cause a person deep in sin to repent and be saved. One sentence of the Bible often changes a person completely. What other book does this? This is the power, right? We all have, I don't know, concepts of power. The Bible, you know, doesn't move mountains physically. The Bible doesn't make a train move. But the Bible can completely redirect someone's life, right? If anyone genuinely touches the word of the Bible, he touches the power in the Bible because the Bible is the word of God. The word of God is as powerful as God. God accomplishes creation and rules everything through his word. Did I put those verses in Hebrews in here? I didn't. Okay, Hebrews 11:3 and 1:3. They say, by faith we understand that the universe has been framed by the word of God. Amen. The universe has been framed. I mean, and that's one of those things that you can read and be like, oh yeah, praise the Lord. But like, you know, like if you read the Bible and like, do you believe what the Bible says? Like, the word framed the universe. Yeah. Yeah. Hebrews 1:3. Who, being the effulgence of his glory and the impress of his substance, and upholding and bearing all things by the word of his power. Amen. So not only is it the frame, but everything is upheld, yeah. Is born. And I don't know, physically upheld? What about your personal universe? Surely all things there are also upheld and born. That's a lot of personal universes to be bearing. But by what? By his word. His word does this. Amen. That's just astounding. And this is real power. Not the power we think of like fire. That's honestly pretty easy. Fire coming down out of heaven. To bear someone, to create all things, to change someone's life, not by force, but still causing such a dramatic change. Wow. I mean, that, I don't even know what that is. That's just power. Anyway, these verses that have been shared again and again, but I'll share them again. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there's, I said it, but I'll say it again because I'm just so impressed with it. It's not a matter of just knowing or trying to convince yourself. It's absolutely a matter of praying. And just even these points, just bring every single one of these back to the Lord. Lord, your word is pure. Wonderful. I don't know why I should appreciate that, but thank you, Lord. This is wonderful. Lord, your word is sweet. I don't know what that means either, but thank you, Lord, your word is sweet. Just pray short prayers. Or maybe the other way. Lord, your word is so sweet. I love your word. Just tell him. And pray to see these things. Because the word, the word was God. That's amazing. When you really touch the word as spirit and life, you're touching God. You cannot exercise your spirit over the Bible and miss God. You can't exercise your mind over the Bible and miss God. You can exercise your eyes over the Bible and miss God. But if you exercise your spirit, which probably will involve your eyes and your mind, you will touch God. It's unavoidable. So, amen. All right, that's all I have. But hopefully, you saints can complete the message. Amen. Amen.